Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Strang Report. I'm Steve Strang. Thank you for listening to the Charisma Podcast Network. Today, I have a very interesting, very well-known guest named Jerry Falwell. He is the president of Liberty University, which was founded in 1971 by his father, Jerry Falwell, who I had the privilege of knowing. And recently, we covered President Falwell and Liberty in Charisma magazine. Jerry Falwell was on the cover of the July issue, and I encourage you to check it out online, or hopefully you already subscribe. And in just a minute, I'm going to pick up with my interview with President Jerry Falwell, telling me the incredible story of Liberty University and also talking about what the future holds. Today, I have the privilege of interviewing President Jerry Falwell of Liberty University. He was on the cover of the July issue of Charisma, and it's my pleasure to interview you on my podcast. Thank you for taking time.
I'm honored to do it, Steve. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you. I've known Liberty University almost since it started in the early 1980s. I have known Elmer Towns for a long time. I had the privilege of knowing your father and visiting up there in the late 80s. Of course, it was already fairly good size, but it was nothing like it is now. What do you attribute the enormous growth, which our article kind of focused on? In fact, the headline says Training Champions for Christ, and you're certainly doing that.
Well, Liberty had a different mission and vision from its founding than most Christian colleges did. It's the only one I know of that set out from day one in 1971 to become for evangelical Christians what Brigham Young is for Mormons, what Notre Dame is for Catholics, a world-class university with world-class facilities and NCAA Division I sports. In the early 70s, my father was talking about playing USC, Alabama, Notre Dame in football, and everybody thought he was crazy because we didn't even have a campus until 1977. We just rented buildings around town, old public school buildings and old hotels for dorms and a youth camp on an island in the middle of the James River for athletics and rickety old buses to take the students from one place to the other. But he still, even though it was such humble beginnings, he never strayed from that vision. And I really think that that's why Liberty has succeeded, because it offers something that most evangelical Christian schools never intended to offer and never thought it'd be possible to offer. And so it's just a unique mission, I think. And, of course, we were pioneers in the adult education world, too, and that gave us a real boost starting in around 2005. We started the program in 1985, but 2005 is when everybody started getting high-speed internet in their homes, and that really put us in a position of being the only nonprofit university in the country poised to serve that huge adult population of people who had maybe had gone to a year or two of college and never finished and had a job, a mortgage, a family, and couldn't uproot and go back to school, or they needed a master's degree to get a promotion. And you wouldn't believe how many people are in those categories. And so it was something that we haven't had much competition in that area, because most of the elite mainstream schools, their faculty have tenure, and their faculty don't think it's prestigious to educate adults, so they don't allow it. And so we've filled that gap.
And you sure have. In fact, when we wrote the story, we went back and forth. Now, is it the largest? I think we settled on it's one of the largest online in Christian circles. You have to be the largest by far, aren't you, on online?
Well, you know, Grand Canyon is a for-profit school. We're definitely the largest nonprofit. Grand Canyon was formerly a Mormon school, and they've moved towards the Christian faith in a lot of ways. And when I talk to them on the phone, they say, it's okay with us if Liberty claims to be the largest Christian university in the world, because we are a different type of Christian university. And so that it's between Grand Canyon and Liberty. But Liberty is one of the five largest universities of any kind in the country. And it's probably the second or third largest private nonprofit in the country.
And large enough and successful enough that it garnered the attention of the New York Times, and they did a big story about you. I read it. Most of it was positive, but not all of it. What do you think they were trying to prove?
I think more than a little bit of it was negative. It was actually written by ProPublica for the New York Times Magazine. ProPublica is owned by George Soros, I'm told. And so it was really more of a hit job. And a lot of it was untrue. In fact, some of my vice presidents encouraged me to sue ProPublica for defamation, and I just thought that would be a waste of our time and effort because everybody sort of takes what the New York Times says with a grain of salt these days anyway, and so we didn't sue, but I don't remember the specific details, but I do remember it had some blatant inaccuracies.
Well, I remember that after it came out, you wrote, I'm going to call it an op-ed. And I'm not sure who all you sent it to, but we got hold of it and we put it online because you needed to tell the other side. And then when that happened, I thought, we haven't written about liberty in a long time. So we did a major cover story. We sent Taylor Berglund, our bright young editor, up there, and he interviewed students and just kind of caught the flavor of the university, wrote a little bit about the history. And liberty has a very interesting history. It hasn't all been uphill because in the 80s, you came pretty close to shutting down, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. The 80s and the 90s, we never declared bankruptcy, but we were very close to missing payroll several times. And we had short-term debt from lots of different people and organizations that was all coming due in 2 or 3 years, and it all hit at once. And it was a very trying time, and it was really the first 20 years of my career as a lawyer. I was general counsel for Liberty, and it was sort of a baptism by fire for me because I went from law school into what I thought was going to be, I had no idea it was financially it was in bad shape before, because Dad sort of internalized that and kept it all to himself. And I ended up being the only other person who knew how bad it was at the time. So I ended up working with him on a day-to-day basis to fix it. And it was only through perseverance and pure faith and prayer that we were able to emerge successfully from those difficult days. And it really makes us appreciate that much more what God's done here in the last 11 years since my father passed, because just the thought of liberty being prosperous is such an enigma to so many people who knew how difficult times were in the 80s, late 80s and up to the mid 90s and beyond. It's a real miracle story. I don't know of any other university that's experienced a successful turnaround of that magnitude.
I remember back hearing about it, being aware of what was going on, and being aware that your father went on a 40-day fast. And I don't know that I'd ever met anyone that went on a 40-day fast. And then he came off the fast, and they went on another fast. And a number of years later, I did a 40-day fast. And I think I was inspired in part by the fact that your father did it. But wasn't that kind of almost like a turning point? You know, you mentioned prayer, you mentioned faith.
That was his turning point. And he attributes a lot of what happened after that to those two fasts. And he lost a lot of weight. And I think he only drank tomato juice during that time. I can't remember exactly, but there's lots of passages in the Bible where it talks about prayer and fast. And that's what he did. And he really does attribute much of Liberty's success, or he did before he passed, to that prayer and fasting that he experienced.
We interviewed a number of your students, and one of the quotes that caught my eye in the article was the slogan, if it's Christian, it should be better. And of course, you also use the slogan, training champions for Christ. Could you elaborate on that a little bit and maybe why that's even unusual? I mean, why is it that Christian things usually aren't better and that you're focusing on that in Liberty in the way you are?
Well, the whole system is rigged against Christian education, private education. Public schools get all the money, get all the buildings. Parents have to pay to send their kids to Christian K-12 schools. They're already paying taxes that cover other kids going to public schools. And same thing with universities. Public universities receive a lot more. Well, private universities don't receive any money from the state. Our students do take out federal loans, and if they're qualified, they can get Pell Grants. But public universities get all their buildings paid for by the state. They receive subsidies from the state. And so that resulted over the years, that system, in Christian schools having sort of substandard campuses and weren't able to offer all the academic programs and have all the sports athletic opportunities for students that public schools did. And so that was what Dad meant by that, was if it's Christian, it ought to be better. Even though the system's rigged against Christian universities, he was determined to build one that rivaled the mainstream secular universities in this country in every area of academics, athletics, facilities, and that's what he meant by that. And so the idea was to provide all the positive things that went along with a major university education, but to do it from a Christian point of view and a Christian worldview. And that's the whole philosophy behind Liberty. The philosophy is that you don't have to go into the ministry as a full-time pastor or church worker to impact the world for Christ. You can do it in any profession. Liberty has 520 programs of study now, but the whole idea is that you can impact the world for Christ, whether you're a lawyer, a doctor, an engineer, a scientist, a musician, an entertainer, a pastor, whatever, politician. And so that's the explanation for those two taglines you just mentioned.
You know, one other thing that we talked about in the article was the future. In fact, there's a sidebar where I interviewed you, and then we transcribed the interview, and I asked you about the future. So tell my listeners what you see in the next few years and maybe the next decade for Liberty University.
Well, I think we are focused now on keeping our resident program about the same size, between 15 and 16,000 students. Our online program, around 90 to 95,000 students. And our focus now is just to enhance the quality of everything we do academically and to really make a name for the university through athletics, because a lot of people, that's the only time they ever hear of your school or learn anything about it, is when they watching you play a football game or basketball game. And so that was always our strategy, was to use what my father called the two universal languages that all young people understand, athletics and music. To use those two things to really focus everyone on the true mission of Liberty University, the Christian mission of Liberty University. And so that's our goal, is just to continue that original vision that started in 1971. We have the facilities now. We've already spent over $1 billion on campus, and we've been able to build a $1.6 billion endowment for the future. So the future of the university is secure, and it's up to the next generation now to use those tools that have been, that God has provided us, to fulfill the mission of the university for generations to come. I don't think there's any danger now of the university. Financially, it's secure. I don't think there's any danger of it going anywhere. It's just a matter of whether it stays true after my lifetime to its original goals and whether the next generation remains true to the mission.
As we wrap this up, I want to ask you a question that probably a lot of people associate with you, because in the 2016 election, you were pretty high profile in terms of interacting with Donald Trump. I'm not sure if you actually literally endorsed him, but a lot of people, including me, were paying attention to that. I was noticing that when I was still supporting Ted Cruz until he dropped out. And then, of course, I became a very enthusiastic supporter of Donald Trump. And there's been a certain amount of controversy over that, hasn't there?
Well, my father came from a family of business people who were not Christians, and there was a series of tragedies that resulted in his father dying at age 55, and my father was only 15 years old. He became a Christian only because of those tragedies. I think he would have gone into the family business if those things hadn't happened. I talked about those at graduation when I introduced Jimmy Carter recently, and you know, people can watch that online. But I did endorse Trump in January, and the reason was because I had seen what applying business principles could do to save an organization, because in the 1980s and 1990s, donations had dried up. We had to come up with a business model to keep Liberty alive and to eventually make it prosperous. And so that's the reason I supported Donald Trump early, because we have a country, $21 trillion in debt, and he's a businessman who... We haven't had too many businessmen have been presidents. We've had career politicians. And so a lot of people didn't understand why I was supporting Trump. A lot of Cruz supporters were furious at me. But it was because of my unique perspective of seeing what applying sound business principles did for Liberty University and how much that was needed for the country. And I just felt like a businessman with common sense and who was pragmatic would come down on the right side, even though he hadn't even really decided what all his political views were at that time. I believed he would come down on the right side of all the political issues, because I believed he really wanted to do what was best for the country. And if you want to do what's best for the country and for the common man, you have no choice but to be a conservative. It's that simple. And so he did, and I'm proud I supported him, and I've stayed in close touch with him and talked to him about once a month, and it's become a good, close friendship, and I just am so pleased with how he's kept his promises and how he's appointed justices to the lower courts and to the Supreme Court, who I believe will take the country in the right direction, uphold the Constitution. I think for religious liberty, Trump has been a godsend. I think for deregulation, freeing businesses up to prosper. He's done all the things he said he was going to do, and he has only been held back a little bit by what I call the fake Republicans in the Senate, and there's a handful of those that keep him from being able to do everything that needs to be done, but hopefully that'll change this fall.
And look how the economy has prospered with the businessmen and how some of the trade agreements are, I mean, China is now coming to the negotiating table because of his leadership, and you mentioned many of the things that he has done, and it's just truly amazing. And I think that you were one of the people that sent a signal to the evangelical community that it was okay to vote for this New York billionaire who didn't have that good a reputation, at least not from the Christian perspective.
Right.
But he certainly seems to have changed a lot. Have we ever had a president that did sanctions against a country like Turkey over a Christian pastor who's in jail? I mean,
right.
It's just amazing. It almost boggles the mind.
It really does. And we needed somebody with some resolve and with some backbone. You know, Republicans and Democrats, the parties had become so much alike that you really couldn't tell the difference. And all of them were scared of their shadow when it came to criticism from the press. And they just waffled on every issue. They just sort of put their finger up in the wind and see which way the wind's blowing. Trump, on the other hand, just marches ahead. And he doesn't care how much criticism comes his way. And the people don't care. The people don't care what the press say anymore because they've lost all credibility. And it's only because they've followed Trump's lead and haven't bowed down to pressure from the other side when they do something unpopular. And that's what Americans have longed for a long time, is just somebody who will stand up for the country, stand up for what's right, and not back down in the face of adversity. And it's sort of like Winston Churchill in World War II. It's who I compare Trump to. Everything looked like it was lost to Hitler, and Churchill had to resolve to move ahead anyhow and to never quit. And that's what I see in Donald Trump. And I think that's why people support him in spite of all the negatives that get thrown at him.
Well, we could talk for a long time about what's happening in our country. And of course, there's a lot more to say about liberty. I encourage my listeners to pick up the July issue of Charisma Magazine, a very handsome cover.
Your people and you did an excellent job with that article. I've got the magazine right here. And Liberty is deeply grateful for you focusing attention on the school in that issue. And I hope everybody will get a copy.
Well, thank you. And thank you for taking time from a very busy schedule to talk to me today.
Anytime for you, Steve.
I hope you'll read the article in Charisma. I think you'll enjoy it. Some great pictures. It's well written. Hopefully you already subscribe to it, but if you don't, you can get it online at shop.charismamag.com. I'll repeat that. It's shop.charismamag.com. You can buy a copy of the magazine. We'll mail it to you, or hopefully you'll subscribe if you already don't do so. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Jerry Falwell Jr. I've gotten to know him and have so much respect for him. I had the privilege of actually being at their convocation. They're a huge meeting of students that happens once a week up there at Liberty. They have a beautiful, beautiful campus. It was such an honor to be up there and then to do the story. In fact, I think the article in Charisma resulted as much from my visit as it did from the New York Times article, which I referenced. You need to check out more about Liberty University at liberty.edu. They have an online program that is second to none. We talked about it a little bit, and I know that it will apply to many people who are listening. So once again, thank you for listening today to The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Steve Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on CharismaMag.com. Again, that's The Strang Report on CharismaMag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.